I've always exercised, never until COVID, like in a really healthy way, always like in a punishing escapism way. And then COVID hit and I couldn't like continue the pattern. And so when I moved here, I kind of set this new pattern of going down to yoga. And they brainwashed me over time, quickly, I'm easily brainwashed, that, you know, listen to your body, don't push yourself, like your body is here, it's amazing. Like it does all these things for you every day, like appreciate your body. And it was working really well until this week on Thursday night when I was at this class and there was this young person leading it. And I don't know, like, if she doesn't need oxygen, maybe that's part of it. Like, and she's, like, specially created to not need to breathe like I do. But I thought I was going to die. And I was the only one in the class that was, like, everyone else is, like, keeps moving, keeps lifting weights, keeps doing all these insane things. And I'm like, I am going to throw up. Like, not 20, and she was obviously much younger than me, and I used to be in better shape, and now I'm not because I don't want to hurt myself. I'm like at that age. Also, I just don't care enough. Like, I exercise to eat ice cream. Like, that's, there's like literally this like cause and effect thing. If I exercise, then I can eat ice cream tonight. That's all I'm thinking. The whole class is about ice cream. And so I just started feeling like, I don't fit in here. What am I doing? Why is everyone in, like, such better shape than me? And, like, something popped into my mind, like, all of a sudden. And I was like, I had a baby. Like, I was in labor for, like, 24 hours. I had Pitocin. I didn't get that whole, like, thing where you're numb for a really long time. And when I did, I was thankful, more thankful than I've ever been for anything in the entire universe. Like, I carried a baby. I created a human. So, like, who cares if I cannot do any more jumping jacks or if I vomit in front of everyone? Like, it was just this moment of, like, total self-empowerment of, like, who cares? Like, this is my thing. But what happened when I was able to kind of like claim that for myself is that like I wasn't like feeling bad about the other people in the class. Like I didn't feel like I needed to compare myself. Like I am super happy. This person was an amazing instructor. Like everyone else there was awesome. Like they were doing their like obviously their best. Like it was like something completely shifted in me where I was like, I belong here and like I can do different things and we can all do different things. And there is this equality about it. And that is exactly what our scripture is about today. That feeling, that falling into place, that fullness where God comes into a room and breathes into it space enough for you to see what you have overcome. Because in our Lenten story, we are all working towards confronting our own versions of death. Our own versions of what do we need to die to about ourselves, about who we've been taught that we're supposed to be, so that we can be resurrected more fully. And today's scripture passage is speaking to the community that they really have just been getting beaten up by their culture. And it's not just like this broad being picked on. It's this very specific response to public discipleship. And so for us today, when I think about what they were going through and the specific response, I'll tell you that when Monica and I decided this week to put Protect Trans Kids up on our board, the first thing I told Monica is, let's see if we can get some new phone calls. Because we do. Like, we get phone calls, we get letters. It's not like too frequent, but it comes and we're always kind of expecting it. But it's worth it. It's totally worth it to be able to live out loud, to be able to push the boundaries and say things that other people maybe might be thinking, but they're not saying out loud. This is kind of what I see Jesus as doing and so much more. The message for the people that are being spoken to in Hebrews is, Jesus is fully like you. And if Jesus is fully like you, that there is absolutely no difference, and Jesus died on the cross and was suffering, then surely this isn't a personal thing about you. That there's something wrong with the way that we are together. That we haven't quite figured out how to breathe together in a way where we all have space to be fluid and continue to discover who we are and what our purpose is. This scripture today is usually used around Christmas. It's really a definition or an introduction to what the incarnation is. Like, how did the Holy and why did the Holy decide to be manifest in this man named Jesus? And what we learn in this scripture is that the reason is that we might all be glorified, which sounds to me always sometimes difficult. Like, oh, like, what does that mean? But the translation actually means so that we might be all in the presence of God. That we all might be in our fullness, present before God. And I don't see that as an either or. I don't understand that to mean that before Jesus we were not in the presence of God. I understand this to be linked to the fact that the most important thing for the people at the time and for us today to understand about this message is that Jesus was fully like us so that we might understand that we are fully in the presence of God. So think about this. Like, Jesus is fully you. Like, just think about that. Like, everything that you are, all the stuff that makes you unique, all the things that make you not fit in or that you would want to change, Jesus is all of that. And Jesus can be fully who you are, and fully who everybody in this room is, who everyone on this planet is throughout all of time. That it's this fullness, this expansiveness that says, you are before God, that I, as the incarnation, am embodied as each and every one of you, as all people, so that you might understand that you are in the presence of God, that we don't need to like argue and fight about what definitions are of who someone should be or how they should act. Like, through history, they're always changing anyway. Gender's always being formed by the language we use or the marketing trends, that we don't need to shame each other, which is exactly what the scripture passage today says, that I am not ashamed to call you my siblings. And I'm so not ashamed that I'm going to embody fully who you are. This is literally the most humbling thing I've ever thought about in ministry. Like, fully me? Fully me. And how hard it is to return that sense of awe and gratitude in discovering who I fully am in this world. I like how easy it is to be tempted to see the 21-year-old amazing instructor and to wish that I could be that again or ever. How I lament the fact that I'm not even sure what it means sometimes to be a woman or a female, because it's been so taught to me and told to me over and over again that I'm not sure how to sort it all out. And it's easy in gender discussions to talk about protecting trans kids or the LGBT community, but it's a lot harder to talk about, well, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be masculine in a sacred sense? Because today I think that it's easier to think that this is about them, whoever they are, the suffering ones. And Jesus, in the fullness of all of us, comes forward and says, no matter who you are, no matter what your identity is, if you live into the fullness of who you are, a consequence of that will be discomfort. will be suffering in some sense, that the point is not suffering, which in religion sometimes I think we like to like focus in on, like Jesus suffered. Well, Jesus' suffering wasn't the point, it was a consequence of him living fully as each and every one of us in a system that really identifies the highest destiny as that masculine power over control. And this harms everyone. Men especially. Men that are taught that they can't cry, that strength means being domineering, that they have to take up all the room, all the space, and that there is a heavy emptiness with that. And Jesus comes and talks about flipping over tables, and he rides in on a donkey, and he loves Mary, and he's never officially, that we know of, married. And he's all of these things that are dichotomies that play against each other. He's binaries, and he is more. So that he can create space for us to see that we deserve to be in the presence of God. And in progressive churches, I think the work that we're doing often is advocating for other people, when what Jesus is calling us to do, particularly at Lent, is to advocate for ourselves. That what we consider as being imperfect is actually our beautiful, uniquely created selves. That we're called to be clumsy and curious. That we're called to be jealous sometimes as entry points for claiming what we do have to offer, what we have been through. For Jesus, the challenge to the dominant narrative was overcoming death, so that we might not be afraid to die in many ways to the people we've been told we're supposed to be, so that we might be resurrected to the fullness that Christ intends. Amen.